Good morning and welcome to the South Dakota Supreme Court. My understanding is we have students from Loyola High School. Is that correct? Welcome. Just as a little guide, the way the oral arguments work is that the appellant has 20 minutes to present his argument to the court, then the respondent has 20 minutes, and then the appellant has a 10-minute rebuttal. With that, we will proceed on our next case, which is Ryan Baldwin, appellant versus Castro County Feeders, appellee. For the appellant is Mr. Douglas Kettering, an attorney from Yankton, and for the appellee is Mr. Timothy Whalen, an attorney from Lake Andes. Mr. Kettering, you may proceed. You have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Please, of course.
Chief Justices, Mr. Whalen. This case is basically an appeal from a declaratory judgment action that was taken in front of Judge McMurtry in Charles Mix County approximately 1 year ago. The case originated prior to that when Ryan Baldwin, a young man who's from the state of Texas, purchased some cattle, which was his business, and he then placed them on feed with an entity known as Castro Feedlots. They're a custom feed operation also in the state of Texas. Mr. Baldwin has been doing this for a number of years, and his father had done it as well. Historically, they would purchase fat cattle or cattle that were going to be fed and fattened and then sold, and they would make the difference on the cost of the cattle versus the ultimate selling price. In 2001, they entered into an arrangement with Castro Feeders, wherein this would transpire. They would place cattle there. Ryan would, as the owner, the cattle would be fed, then marketed. Ultimately, because of various reasons, the cattle were removed from the feedlot because the Baldwins felt that there was an excessive loss. In any event, with the full awareness and knowledge of Castro, the cattle were brought to Kansas, and then ultimately upon the Baldwins learning that what they testified to and what was entered into evidence in Charles Mix County was a niche market for these kind of cattle. The cattle weighed in excess of 1,000 pounds. They were warmed up, I think is the parlance that's used in the custom cattle feeding business, but not quite to their ultimate desirable weight. They were then sold at Dale Myers Livestock Barn in Wagner, South Dakota. There were approximately 78 head of these cattle that were sold, and they realized approximately $42,900 in proceeds. Mr. Meyer issued a check to the Baldwins, but ultimately stopped payment on it before the same had been negotiated or gone through the banking system. We believe that he was concerned as to whether or not there might be any lien holders or there might be anyone that should have a lien on the cattle and so proceeds, and so he stopped payment on the check. That then resulted in the commencement of a declaratory judgment action to determine what in fact interests the respective parties had or who should have the proceeds from the sale of the 70 head of fat cattle in South Dakota. We then entered into a stipulated set of facts in front of Judge McMurtry in Charles Mix County when this declaratory judgment action was had, setting forth basically those facts as to what actually happened. In addition to that, there were two exhibits that were presented to the court, one being Exhibit A, which was a cattle feeding agreement, and the other being Exhibit B, which was a note denominated as secured by a security agreement. The parties further stipulated that there had been no UCC filings prior to the sale of the cattle, although afterwards there had been some. Although it was not agreed to, it was represented to the court that Castro Feeders had some $80,000 or $90,000 that they had claimed was owed to them by the Baldwins yet, but that had not been proven, and we did not agree with that number, as we indicated to the court as well that we had claims against them. And so that set for the lower court this factual basis as to what had happened and what was going on. Ultimately, Judge McMurtry ruled that there was a secured arrangement, or there was a security agreement that he felt was valid, and that brings us here today. We do not feel that in this particular case that there is a valid security agreement between these two entities. Exhibit A, which was a cattle feeding agreement that was signed by Ryan Baldwin and also by the feedlot, sets forth several things in a boilerplate fashion with no specificity. It doesn't have any interest, it doesn't have any fees, it doesn't have any legal description of where the cattle are, the number of cattle, or the term, and the length of the cattle feeding agreement. Exhibit B, that was the secured note, or the denominated note and secured by security agreement, also is replete with blanks. It's boilerplate. It even goes so far as to have Ryan's father denominated as the maker rather than Ryan himself.
Which provisions of the UCC do you claim would make this an invalid security agreement?
9108.
On description?
Yes. Very specifically, we feel, and the court has previously ruled, I think, in First National Bank of Phillips, South Dakota versus Temple, it gave a very concise description of what needs to be the first level of subject matter for a valid security agreement. But we feel that in addition to that, we have to go to the next level, and as a part of that, 9-108 has to be addressed in order for that to be a valid agreement. In this particular case, we have boilerplate.
So how specific a description do you need? Do you have to number them? Do you have to physically describe them, say where they came from, or what do you need?
Livestock cattle, we can go up and down the road, and we can look out in the pasture, and we can see everything from half-dead dairy cattle that are downers to fat cattle that are Black Angus and weigh 1,100 pounds. We have to describe, we feel, with some specificity, the category or the class of the cattle.
Each cow?
No.
Okay.
And that's not what we're saying here, but in this particular business, people are bringing in, they're either bringing in heifers, or they're bringing in steers, they're either bringing in crossbreds, or they're bringing in Angus. You can go to any sale barn in the country and you can see that heifers sell for $5 a pound or 100 weight less than steers. Black cattle sell for more than red cattle for some reason, whatever it is. There needs to be some specificity as to what is actually being secured.
But in this case, how is it unfair to your client that it's not described so well? Your client admits that he took these cows to Texas.
Yes.
Admits he picked them up in Texas and took them to South Dakota. So we're talking, he admits these are the same cows. He has no confusion about which cows we're talking about here.
No, but he then loses any ability to control the destiny of the proceeds of the cattle. He loses any ability to determine what happens to that. According to this feedlot, by virtue of this alleged document, which doesn't purport anything or set anything out, has ultimate control over the proceeds, and that's not what security agreements are designed for. They're designed to set out what the entitlements or what the positions of the two parties are relative to each other.
I thought that the agreement provided for arbitration, is that the feeder doesn't get the cattle or the proceeds, yet there has to be an arbitration in Texas where your client apparently or supposedly agreed to arbitrate.
There is a provision in here, a proviso in here for arbitration with the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. That's correct.
Well, if this agreement does not apply to these cattle, which cattle did it apply to? It says livestock, it says cattle.
We have no idea what cattle it could apply to. What our question is...
Your client signed it.
My client signed it. There's no question about that.
What does the record reflect that he believed with respect to the cattle that were covered by this agreement?
There is no record as to that. What this does is, understanding that there is no termination date for this, there's no beginning or ending date, there's no guidance as to interest rates, there's no description of the number of cattle that are actually involved, there's no legal description attached as to where the cattle actually are.
aren't those arguments about the validity of the agreement as opposed to whether they comply with the UCC description requirements?
I think they go to both. I think it goes to both. We're saying that there's not a valid security agreement between the two parties.
Have you stipulated that your client removed these cattle that were sold at this livestock auction, that they came from Castro County's feedlot?
Right.
But you're claiming there's no security agreement just because the feedlot, the lot itself wasn't specified, the particular area where the cattle were held?
That's one of the bases, yes. There's also no description of the cattle. There's no termination or effective date for this agreement.
You know, it seems that argument would make some sense. You know, if you could prove that these cattle were on Baldwin's farm someplace in another area, in another county or something like that. But it doesn't even really seem like that's a valid argument as to the people who were feeding all of the cattle that Baldwin had there. You know, what difference does it make, really, what lot they were in?
Well, because by virtue of this agreement, extending that argument even further, Castro County could claim all the cattle that the Baldwins had.
At their feedlot.
Well, I think if a fair reading of this could extend it beyond their feedlot.
This note says secured by a security agreement. How do you explain that? Obviously, there was an intent that when they signed this, that a security agreement was part of this deal.
Well, I think it's some boilerplate language, and that they're trying to have in one document encompass everything, and so they've got a note secured by a security agreement. They don't have any interest rates. They don't have any repayment terms. They don't have any principal amounts. I think...
Why did he sign it if he's got all these objections to it now?
Well, in candor, I think as long as everyone's making money and everything's going along well, people probably aren't very particular about their daily affairs. But here we had a stipulated fact at trial that there was a 16% death loss, which is a huge death loss in the cattle feeding business. There were losses. Obviously, they were arguing back and forth, although no litigation had ever been filed in Texas against the Baldwins or against Ryan Baldwin in any event by Castro. But in hindsight or in retrospect, he certainly should have. I agree.
He should
have said in these pens.
Shouldn't the issue be between Baldwin and Castro County then as to whether or not they did something or didn't do something that caused this unusually high death loss?
That could ultimately be the final determination in Texas, depending upon the ruling that the court makes as to whether or not this is a valid security agreement.
Okay, so this is like kind of like your first defense among several then.
Well, we felt that this was appropriate since under South Dakota law, the money was here, the cattle were here, and so South Dakota would be the appropriate venue, I think, to treat this matter originally.
But you really don't claim you didn't have a security agreement as to all the cattle that preceded this, but it's just now because of the death loss, now you're taking a technical look at the security agreement?
We're trying to take a fair look at the security agreement to see if it comports with the requirements are what we believe to be the requirements of the UCC. Yes.
All right.
How would you distinguish the comments in the UCC that say that a description simply like farm products is adequate?
Well, but that doesn't apply to that. Farm products could apply to more fungible goods such as wheat or corn. If it's number two corn, you're good.
But
there's a variance that's defined.
The comments indicate that farm products include cattle.
Cattle are farm products. But also, you can look at the UCC requirements as far as securing grain raised or things like that, and you properly have to have the legal description of the ground or the piece of ground upon which that is raised.
Well, do you acknowledge that the UCC says that use of the word farm products is generally adequate? an adequate description?
I think it, I would say that that is an adequate description in certain areas, say with a financial institution that's filing a UCC-1, putting people on notice with a financing statement, I think that is.
Actually, I'm talking about under 108 and 203.
Where it treats with the farm products.
It discusses farm products and includes livestock within them.
The 203 sets a description of the collateral, that would be in 3A. And in this case, it's readily identifiable. There's several different classes of the collateral, and it's not done here. So we think that that's certainly distinguishable, Your Honor. Then our position would be that there's an invalid security agreement, that it's not complete, it's inadequate in its nature, it's a blank document. It certainly wouldn't hold against a third person, and we don't believe it's applicable or appropriate against the people that were involved in this matter, and it unfairly burdens the Baldwins in this case.
Okay.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, Mr. Kettering. Mr. Whalen, you have 20 minutes, sir.
May it please Chief Justice of the Court, Mr. Kettering. I think this case, Justices, is more appropriately hinges around the difference between a finance statement and the security agreement and the purposes for each of those documents. The security agreement is to reference and set forth the agreement between the parties. Consequently, the requirements for description and other formalities of the finance statement are unnecessary in this particular case. We don't need to go to those particular issues. Whether there's proper notice to third parties, whether there's inquiry notice, whether the finance statement or the description is seriously misleading, those are issues for another day. What we have here today is what were the intentions between the parties relative to the security agreement. There's no question the security agreement was signed. There's no question that the parties understood, in my mind, from the record, that this was intended to create a security interest in the cattle placed at Castro County Feeders. If you look at the admissions or the facts that are before the court, Baldwin's admitted that he signed the agreement. Although there's an argument that there was a striking out or that there was some confusion as to the agreement, somebody struck Rick Baldwin's name and wrote in Ryan underneath the signature. Consequently, on Exhibit A, there's no question that it was signed.
Did he admit it was his signature or stipulate that it was his signature?
Yes.
Well, then. But he didn't admit who struck out the Rick?
No. With regard to the
how would that matter? I mean, if the Rick is stricken out, and he has signed Ryan, or wait a minute, I got him reversed, I think, huh?
I may have too, Your Honor. Rick was stricken and Ryan signed
right,
it.
Right, right. Ryan admits that he signed it.
Yes.
So the fact that Rick's name appeared a couple of times in the document or that it was stricken in the signature line doesn't make any difference by who did it, does it?
Well, I don't believe it makes any difference who did it. What it does evidence and what it does show is that Ryan knew what he was doing when he signed the document, because he recognized that Rick's name was in the document and shouldn't have been, and signed it Ryan. So he amended the document, or it was amended with his approval, to show that he understood the contents of the document and what its purpose was. Now, under the comments, the official comments under the revisions for the Article 9, particularly this section 108, the comment indicates that the purpose of requiring a description for the collateral And the security agreement is evidentiary in nature, as opposed to setting forth a legal question. And the test, it goes on to indicate, the test of sufficiency of a description under this section, as under former section 910110, is that the description do the job assigned to it, make possible the identification of the collateral described. This section rejects any requirement that a description is insufficient unless it is exact and detailed, the so-called serial number test. That's the official comments under this particular section 108, and it references back to section 203. So the comment and the drafters of the revisions clearly give us guidance in the sense that we're not requiring an exact detailed description. We're requiring something less because the security agreement is first and foremost only applicable to the parties. And the parties' intentions under an AMJUR site that I have here in a minute, it's 68A AMJUR 2nd, Secure Transactions, Sections 161, and there's some other sections that refer to the intentions of the parties and the issue with regard to that. The idea behind the security agreement is to reflect the parties' agreement, the parties' intentions, not third parties, but what did Baldwin and Castro County want to do when they signed that security agreement.
All right, so we buy into your argument on the legal nature of the sufficiency of the description. Let's look at this document. I show up and I say I want to see Mr. Baldwin's cows. And I'm holding this document and it's got a blank for the lots, doesn't list the number, doesn't say what kind of cows they are. I assume there's cows running all over this feedlot. Even under your own standard, do you make the grade?
Yes, I do, and here's why. Because in addition to looking at the document itself, you look to the past performances of the parties. You look to see what the parties have done in the past. There is nothing in the record that either supports or denies that Baldwin went to the feedlot and was able to see his cattle. If it's a third party, if it's a third party that shows up and wants to see Baldwin's cattle, that's a finance statement issue. That's an inquiry notice issue, and that's something that isn't relevant here. The security agreement is between the parties. So if Brian Baldwin shows up and says, I want to see my cattle, he knows from past practices where his cattle are and what the circumstances are associated with the housing of the cattle. So as between the parties, Ryan Baldwin can see his cattle anytime. He knows his cattle. He knows what he did with them. He's taking cattle under the record repeatedly from Castro County, hauling them to another location and selling them. So this isn't an isolated transaction. In this particular set of facts, the parties were in a situation where Ryan Baldwin was going to the Castro County feedlot, taking cattle to Kansas on a regular basis, selling them, taking the proceeds directly back to Castro County. Castro County then applied the proceeds to his bill, and any additional funds above and beyond the bill were released to Baldwin. Had we had a situation where it was a one-time occurrence, perhaps we have a little different scenario or story, but we don't here. The parties admitted and agreed and stipulated that this was an ongoing process, and numbers of cattle had been taken to Castro County, had been fed, were released to Mr. Baldwin, taken to Kansas, and sold, and the checks came back every time except for this last time. They instead, and the record clearly shows that Castro County was under the impression that once again the cattle that were taken this time, this last time by Baldwin, they were under the impression that they were going to Kansas as all the other cattle had. It only discovered later that they had gone to South Dakota.
Is there proof in the record that all of these cattle that were sold at the Wagner Livestock Auction came from the Castro County feedlot?
Yes, the party stipulated and agreed to that, and that is part of the record.
So then the absence in the agreement as to which particular lot they're in is also somewhat irrelevant, isn't it?
I believe it is, because the conduct of the parties, how they had acted before, their past relationships, the issues with the checks, all of that clearly indicates that each party was aware and knew of where the cattle came from, whose cattle they were. There's one thing conspicuously absent in the record, and that's proof that these cattle did not belong to Ryan Baldwin. He admitted they were his cattle. He admitted he took them from Castro County. He admitted that he took them up to South Dakota and sold them. The issue of the validity of the security agreement only came to light after the stop payment order was made on the check from the livestock barn.
There's no claim on his part that some of these cattle, say, were his father's or his brother's or his aunt's or uncle's or whatever, or that they came from a separate farm or ranch out of Texas?
No claim whatsoever of that nature. It's stipulated and agreed all these cattle were delivered to Castro County by Baldwin, were released to Baldwin for purposes of sale, and were subsequently sold, and all belonged to Ryan Baldwin, and all were delivered to Castro County under Exhibit A, the cattle feeding agreement. The other thing that I think is important here, other than the situation the parties have placed themselves into as a result of their past dealings and conduct, I think what's important under the Uniform Commercial Code is set forth under 57A1-102 and 57A1-106. The Uniform Commercial Code is intended to protect parties as well as third parties. But as between deciding disputes between parties, in this particular instance, the Uniform Commercial Code is to be liberally construed to carry its policies out. It's under 106, it's designed to put parties in a position that they would have been had everybody done what they were supposed to do. If that were the case here, then quite frankly, the money goes back to Castro County as it always did in the past on numerous occasions, and then the parties, if they have a dispute, they litigate in Texas. So what you have is the situation where the Uniform Commercial Code tries to protect the integrity of the system. Now, as to the blanks in the security agreement, I recall a case or a discussion that was had back in law school when I took my real estate class. And at that time, John Larson, the professor, indicated, and we discussed one case that dealt with the writing of a purchase agreement for land on a napkin at a bar when two people had been fairly under the weather. The agreement was enforceable because it was in writing. It identified the parties, it identified the subject matter, and it had consideration. And consequently, the decision was that the agreement was binding. We have the same scenario here. There is no exact requirement that a form, typewritten form, exist for a security agreement. There are certain circumstances where you don't need a written security agreement in order to establish a security interest. First and foremost, the security agreement can be in more than one document. The security agreement can be undated. The security agreement can be signed by only one party. These things are all the law that backs up this position is all set forth at 68A, Amjur Second, Secured Transactions, Sections 161, 163, also set forth at Sections 167, 168. With regard to, and those sections address what you need for a security agreement. So under the, granted it's not case law, but quite frankly I looked long and hard to try to find some case law that could give us direct, good, solid guidance, and I didn't find it. Under the Amjur sites, we clearly have liberal rules that apply to the nature and content of the security agreement. The important thing that I think also needs to be addressed with regard to this particular case is the fact that in addition to the documents that were created, the promissory note, in addition to the actions of the parties, we have the possession of the collateral being placed within Castro County's confines. Under the UCC, where you have possession or you take a security interest by virtue of possession, a written security agreement is unnecessary. That's my reading of the secured transaction provisions in Amjur. Once you perfect or take a security interest by possession, you don't need a security agreement. An oral agreement is sufficient, providing there's substantial evidence that shows what in fact was the intentions of the party. Clearly, under our case, once the cattle were delivered to Castro County, once the security agreement was signed, once the practice occurred, we have a very clear intention that as between these two parties, a security interest was created in the cattle, all cattle that were delivered to Castro County. There is, again, in the Amjur sections that I referred to, there is, again, the type of law that I've discussed, but there is the issue and there is the law that says that security agreements, promissory notes, but security agreements can be left blank signed by the party and filled in later after the parties ascertain what particular items they want to include in the security agreement. So the practice of leaving a security agreement blank under the AMJUR provisions is not contrary to the UCC, is not inapplicable, is not improper. So I think when we look at the whole picture, as opposed to the technical attacks that are made against this transaction by Mr. Baldwin, I think we see that there was no question under the actions of the parties that they intended to create a security interest, they intended to have those cattle placed as collateral, and Castro County was in position to, at the very least, have the funds sent back to Texas so that the arbitration issue could decide their dispute as to the funds. I have made an argument in my brief with regard to estoppel. There is a Mr. Baldwin objected to that as a result of no proper pleading. I will very clearly admit to the court that the pleading in this particular case was not as it normally is. The parties ended up in a situation where we got to court as fast as we could once things started getting going with the case. There was no requirement that I would argue that Baldwin file an answer. In fact, Baldwin wasn't even made a party to the action until the stipulation of the parties, so we could get the issue before the court and resolved. But I think if you look at, again, the grand picture and the whole picture as to what each party did, how they proceeded, how they acted, what their intentions were, everything that occurred during this whole transaction, I think you clearly see that an issue of estoppel arises. Should Baldwin be able to defeat an obligation he has with Castro County by claiming that all of a sudden there's no security agreement after 2 years or longer of practice of delivering cattle, feeding him, and acknowledging that he owes money to the Castro County, all of a sudden defeated because the security agreement is not good, I'm claiming no joy, you don't get your money. Value was given, identity of the parties were created, the rights in the property were clear, Baldwin said they were his cattle, the description is proper, the parties, as between the parties, they very clearly knew what livestock they were talking about, and they very clearly knew what collateral was provided to secure the debt between the parties. As to the promissory note, Baldwin makes the argument that Castro County perhaps abandoned its argument with regard to the promissory note because we didn't specifically address it in the brief. That is clearly not the case. I think it's important to know that the promissory note is part of the grand picture. The promissory note is part of the transaction involving the party. The parties do not dispute that Castro County is owed money. That is very clear from the record. There's absolutely no dispute. The amount that they owe is subject to dispute, but the fact that money is owed is not disputed. The fact that there was a debt is not disputed. The parties very clearly understand and indicated that there was feed provided to the cattle, there was care, vet bills, minerals, and all of that provided to the cattle by Castro County. The cattle were fed, debt was created, and as a result, Castro County was entitled to be paid. Mr. Kettering indicated that the party stipulated that the death loss was stipulated to be 16%, and that created part of the dispute. That isn't exactly the case. There was a stipulation that there was death loss, but again, the parties disputed the amount of the death loss. So I think under the circumstances, Your Honors, I think very clearly the spirit of the UCC dictates that this matter be affirmed as decided by the trial court, and that the dispute as to who owes who what and how much be resolved down in Texas pursuant to the security agreement and the agreement of the parties. They stipulated and agreed. That is, in fact, part of their agreement. If there's a dispute, it goes to Texas. The documents that were admitted to evidence were admitted by Baldwin, they were stipulated to, and their content is thereby part of the record. The final thing I would indicate to the court that as to the description and as to the evidentiary nature of the security agreement, I believe that falls under the standard of review set forth for factual matters. And I believe that indicates that the proper standard of review is that the trial court was clearly erroneous in its determination. Based upon the arguments and based upon the briefs, Your Honors, I believe that the trial court should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. Mr. Kettering, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Justice. 10 minutes, please, Justices.
In sitting and listening to Castro County's argument before the court, it was indicated that a security agreement is to reference the agreement between the parties and the parties' intentions. That's what the purpose of a security agreement does. And in so doing, as I've previously spoken to, it also deals with what you're talking about. In this agreement between Castro County and the Baldwins, or in more particularly Ryan Baldwin, there is nothing that says forth what the intentions of the parties is. There is nothing that references any transactions between the parties. There's no beginning date, there's no ending date, there's no numbers of head to be fed or not fed, there's no principal amount, there's no interest rate, there's absolutely nothing. This is not a valid security agreement in any stretch of the word. Talking about the fact, it doesn't even identify the subject matter of what they're actually talking about, other than vaguely speaking to livestock or cattle. A secured interest by possession isn't anything that we're dealing with here. These cattle weren't at Castro Feedlot when they were sold and the proceeds became in question. They were in South Dakota. So an Agister's lien or a secured interest by possession certainly isn't relevant here today. Nor, as Mr. Whalen represented, is the argument of estoppel appropriate in this action. But what is, I think that AMJUR does provide some broad guidelines and sets forth some descriptions and some in its treatise on the UCC. One of which is, though, that when there is some disagreement or there is a vagueness in a document, it will be interpreted strictly against the creditor and in favor of the debtor, as set forth in AMJUR 68, AMJUR Second Secured Transactions, pages 168 through 169. AMJUR also provides that the UCC is designed, I think, to set forth with some specificity, some uniformity of transaction, so that things like what have transpired here don't take place. The Baldwins, by declaring or arguing and presenting to the court that this is an invalid security agreement, aren't trying to defeat their obligation to Castro, not in any way, nor have they ever tried to. In fact, in the stipulation at court, when the record was made, there was every indication that there was some obligation there between the Baldwins and Castro. But what they're doing is determining whether or not this is a valid agreement, whether or not Castro has the right to have its name on their proceeds. It's an invalid document. It does not set forth the bare requirements of the UCC. And based upon that, we feel that because these things weren't filled in, because the blanks weren't filled in, because it's just merely boilerplate, there is no security interest, and it makes it much less likely, because this was not done and completed as it is supposed to be completed, that something like this would not happen than it would happen if it had been properly filled out and completed by the parties. And so we feel that it is an invalid security agreement, that the proceeds should in their entirely vest in the Baldwins, and that if there is a cause of concern by Castro Feedlot as to how much the Baldwins own them, they should sue them or bring some form of civil action or seek redress in the Texas Feeders Association. Thank you,
Mr. Kettering.
Thank you.
We will be in recess until 11 o'clock.